Welcome. We're going to do something kind of exciting today. We hired a new salesperson, which we're very excited to have join us. But since I'm training her on the different products, I thought it would be wonderful to share some of these slides with you as physicians, because we're going to go over the top 50 products that Biotix has, and of the 300 plus products, if those are the top 50, those are really the bread and butter and the core of what makes them as a company. So I think you'll find it very interesting. So here we go. By the way, this will be session number one. We'll have actually three different sessions. We'll do three sessions of 15, 16, or 17 and kind of jump in into it as we go. And our plan also is to do one on the immune products that we've seen over the last increases of the immune products over the last year as well. So here we go. So before we do that, if you were going to create a nutrient company from scratch, let's just do a visual exercise for a second. Let's say you had unlimited resources, you had unlimited manpower, you had unlimited finances. What would be the most things that you'd want to consider, the most important things? Well, first of all, you'd want to make sure the tablet would dissolve easily, maybe even in hot water. Second thing you'd want to make sure is the oil-soluble nutrients would enter the lymph system directly by emulsifying them with food-grade emulsifiers. You wouldn't want to use things like tweens and emulsifiers that can cause leaky gut. Then you'd want to use a sprouted, gluten-free vegetable culture tableting base that was alive and had some active enzymes and antioxidants in it. If you were going to use glands, you'd want to use glands that were anabolic in nature, glands that would be in a situation where they would have the nucleoproteins to grow and supply all the nutrients and amino acids that are needed. You'd want to make sure that the ingredients that are supposed to be in the product are in the product. You'd want to make sure, number six, that they're biologically active and able to do what they're intended to do in nature. You wouldn't want to have products in a tablet that were dead. You'd want to make sure that they were able to be active. But maybe the most important thing is you want to make sure what was not supposed to be in the product isn't in the product. And so we're talking about heavy metals, emulsifiers like polysorbate 80, tweens, solvents, etc. And Biotix, that's the Biotix difference, because Biotix is committed to each of those things. They have a commitment to these foundational principles, and they're really what makes Biotix a cut above the average company. And here's just a brief example of the tableting base and why it's a cut above the average company. It was a movie star, an internationally known movie star, that was bitten by a brown recluse spider. He's been in, I can't even mention his name, but just for privacy reasons, but tissue necrosis had set in, and despite the most expensive medical care available really in the world, there was a hole in his leg that was getting bigger and bigger, and after a month, nobody could seem to fix it, despite IVs, whatever was available. So he called a physician that was familiar with our products, and he suggested taking a product to mix dismizine plus granules with liquid iodine in a paste, and then apply that with a sterile gauze twice a day. And what he found up was that it had cleared up in a week, and later on there was not even a scar. He was so thankful that he offered this person a trip on his airplane, any place he wanted in the country for dinner. Obviously he didn't take him up on it. But what's in dismizine plus? Well, researchers estimate that superoxide dismutase, which is what dismizine plus is the third most prevalent enzyme in our body. Some reports say up to five, but it's between the third and fifth most prevalent enzyme in our body. Superoxide dismutase quenches or transforms the highly reactive superoxide radical into hydrogen peroxide and water. Catalase, which is another primary antioxidant, will change the hydrogen peroxide, H2O2, into water and to oxygen. So here are some of the applications that we use SOD with clinically. Free radical pathology, low white blood cells, rampant viral or bacterial infections, all forms of arthritis and inflammation, and protection against radiation. It reduces aging in terms of skin, muscles, bones, and joints, and it's a very interesting product and very unique. There's different kinds of antioxidants. And SOD is classified as a primary antioxidant, and it works synergistically with the well-known secondary antioxidants such as vitamin C, vitamin A, and vitamin E. But of all the antioxidants, SOD is by far the most powerful. A single SOD molecule can neutralize thousands of free radicals, whereas secondary antioxidants can only neutralize one. So for example, vitamin C, which we're all familiar with, it donates an electron, but then it has to be recharged or regenerated by vitamin E before it can be used again. And so that's the same with all the secondary antioxidants. But just let me give you an idea of the power of these nutrients. So one international unit, one IU of SOD, has a lifetime of several days and catalyzes the elimination of billions of free radicals. But for simplicity's sake, let's just say 1 billion. Each microgram of plant SOD yields 6.6 units. 20 micrograms, and 20 micrograms is the common amount that's in almost every tablet. So we use 20 micrograms times 6.6 units, gives us 132 units. So 132 units quenches well over, remember we said earlier, let's just say it catalyzes the elimination of billions of free radicals. We were saying, let's just say it's 1 billion. So 132 units, which is what's in many of the tablets, quenches well over 132 billion oxidative reactions. And that comes free as part of the tableting-based vegetable culture. So the granules, that's the product that we were talking about earlier that the movie star had used with the liquid iodine. Again, a unit, International Unit of SOD, has a lifetime of several days and catalyzes the elimination of billions of free radicals. A tablespoon of dismyzyme granules yields 1,200 micrograms of SOD and 1,200 micrograms of catalase. Biotix identifies their SOD enzymes by using McCord-Fridovich units. Each microgram of SOD yields 6.6 units, so 1,200 micrograms would yield 7,920 units of SOD. And using the calculation above, one tablespoon would quench over 8 trillion free radicals. And for years, doctors have talked to me about SOD granules and how the combination of SOD granules and another product called IAG raises white blood cell counts for chronically low, sometimes with cancer patients, but for people with chronic low white blood counts. And we've never really understood why. And this is one reason why. You can see a Tuesday Minute number 463 that talks about that. As a matter of fact, this is it. Right here, the Tuesday Minute is a weekly product that we put out each week, and it talks about a different facet of physiology, and it usually ties it to one or more biotics products. So this particular one was talking about SOD and SOD and its antioxidant capacity. So you can see here, you'll always see the transcript. If you don't want to read it, you could just click there, and then these were some articles on polyphenols. The 100 dietary richest source of polyphenols and brain function. By the way, we talked about secondary units of antioxidants. Polyphenols will quench tens of thousands, whereas again, the SOD will quench billions, but polyphenols are very important in nature. The other thing that's kind of nice is that there's a search engine at the back. So if you want to find something, you can search and find different topics. We've done over 600 of these now over the years. So Pareto's law is the 80-20 law. Most of you are familiar with that. Just to review, 80% of the clothes you wear takes up 20% of your closet space. 80% of the wear and tear of your carpet is in that 20% of total carpet. 80% of your business comes from 20% of your clients. 80% of your sales comes from 20% of your products. So the top 20 products are there for a reason, and they work, and people keep on buying them. So these are the top 15 products: Biodemolzin Forte, B12 2000 lozenges, Biodemolzin, Biodof 7 Plus, Cytozyme AD, MGzyme, Gastrozyme, ADHS, ADP, Optimal EFAs, Betaine Plus HP for high potency, Beta TCP, Hydrozyme, the suite of thyroid products, but specifically GTA and Capra. So we're going to go over each of these in detail. Since By the way, this was put together, these numbers were put together. We've actually added a BioDK moles in Forte. So that ranks right up there. There's some newer research showing that vitamin K2 is very important. As you know, vitamin D will help pull calcium through the GI tract, and then vitamin K helps pull it into the bone. So there's some very exciting research on that. And so that's been added to the line, and we'll talk about that at a later date. But so BioDMols in Forte contains 2,000 international units per drop. It's literally the best value on the market, because in each 1 ounce bottle, there's 700 drops. And so 700 drops at 2,000 units per drop, it means it's 0.03 cents per drop. And so really, for a family of four with 700 drops, there would be more than enough to everybody to take a few drops a day. BioDMolzin, which is the lower dose product, the BioDMolzin Forte is 2,000 units per drop. BioDMolzin is 400 units per drop. And we use that with small children or topically on the skin. The key is that it's emulsified. The emulsification process uses food grade emulsifiers, and it doesn't use tweens or polysorbate 80 that cause leaky gut. It's a product that comes it's a food grade product. We've never seen someone we can't raise blood levels. I'm sure there are people out there, but we've never seen someone we can't raise blood levels with. So it's a very effective product. There are, as I mentioned, some forms of vitamin D that do raise blood levels but cause leaky gut. There's been a little bit of controversy over the years talking about vitamin D, and then maybe using too much vitamin D can be a problem. Dr. Alex Vasquez has written extensively about this, and one of the things that he talks about is that the studies that don't bear out the value of vitamin D, sometimes they use too little vitamin D. Sometimes the studies are too short. He points out that it takes time to raise blood levels. And so when tissue levels finally become saturated, that's really when the study begins. It doesn't do any good to do a 6-week or even an 8-week study with vitamin D, because it takes time to get the blood levels up, and then it takes time for the cells to multiply and to divide, and for physiology to normalize. So short studies are really disingenuous. You can see a Tuesday Minute number 364 on a controversy on vitamin D under fire in treating autoimmunity. One physician in particular thought that using high levels of vitamin D might actually cause autoimmunity, and so you can see the discussion on that and why it's not in fact the case. Number two, B12 2000. B12 is needed for every single cell in our body. It's needed for cognitive performance. The beauty of B12 2000 is that it's a non-methylated form, and therefore doesn't chelate inorganic metals like mercury or nickel in the mouth and make them organic, which makes them highly absorbable. So each cherry-flavored tablet contains 2,000 micrograms of B12 as hydroxycobalamin, 800 micrograms as calcium folate. Calcium folinate is a reduced form of calcium, and 2 milligrams of B6 as pyridoxal 5-phosphate. This is a great product for especially for the elderly, especially for children. They love it because it really tastes good. By the way, just as a side note, Biotix uses hydroxycobalamin in the oral forms, but they'll use the methylcobalamin forms in something that's going to be swallowed and absorbed intestinally. Again, it tastes great. It's useful to reduce homocysteine. If you see homocysteine is greater than 9, we want to start addressing that. As a side note, anything that reduces the secretion of hydrochloric acid will reduce absorption of B12. And so things like Tagamet, Pepcid, Zantac, any proton pump inhibitors, what do? Well, they reduce the secretion of hydrochloric acid, and so you're going to have people that are deficient. Metformin, which is the first line of therapy for diabetes, is also linked to a B12 deficiency. Kind of a fun test. I'm very familiar with applied kinesiology and muscle testing, and they have something that they found to be very, very true. If you find a strong muscle, any strong muscle, and then you stretch that muscle, and if you retest it, and it's weak, that's a classic need for B12. So you can, again, find a strong muscle, stretch it, retest it. If it's weak, have them taste some B12, and you'll find that it's strengthened. So the same muscle tested twice shouldn't go strong the second time you test it. It should go weak. But if you have the B12 in there, you'll find that it works pretty well. You can see the Tuesday Minute, number 263 on B12 deficiency for some additional lab tests on what might be necessary to diagnose it from a laboratory perspective. Something else, talking about metformin reducing B12, you can see a Tuesday Minute on this link that other nutrients that are depleted by drugs and specific products to support them. So that's a nice link to keep in mind for a later date. BioDOF 7 Plus, number 4. Really, the hottest field in medicine today is the microbiome. Humans have approximately 25,000 genes. We have bugs in our guts, and I've read some people say 1 million genes, some people say up to 3 million genes, and these genes can turn on and off inflammation, they can turn on our immune system on and off, they can turn pain on and off, etc. So we've got this huge microbiome in our gut, and it's very exciting. Each capsule of BioDOF 7 contains 20 billion bacteria per capsule. It's time of manufacture. There's 7 different strains. These are acid and bile resistant organisms, which is beautiful because then they get absorbed. They can tolerate hydrochloric acid and bile. They also have prebiotics, and the prebiotics is really where the bacteria live, making sure they have the food they need to eat to multiply. And so there's some inulin from chicory root, arabinogalactans from larch, the marshmallow root. Those are all things that the bacteria like to live and eat. And there's 7 different strains of human probiotics, 3 forms of bifidobacteria, that comes from mother's milk, bifidum, lactis, and brevi, and lactobacillus plantarum, which is anti-inflammatory as well. Dr. Abbas Kutab, who has medical degrees, chiropractic degrees, a PhD, discusses that probiotics are clearly on the patient's radar. He says they're already buying them from somebody else. Why not buy an active, viable form from you? You can see a Tuesday Minute number 154 on that. By the way, the clinician's view is a handout that you can get, and that will go through all the different products, biotics products, and the dosages and the therapeutic ranges of how to use them. For BioDOF 7 Plus, we take 1 to 2 twice a day, and you take the last dose at bedtime when the person is sleeping to allow the multiplication factor to take place. Number 5 is Cytozyme AD, number 8 is ADHS, and number 7 is ADB5 Plus. So what we're going to do is kind of go through these different products because each of these have different applications. So just briefly, Cytozyme AD is a neonatal adrenal tissue, and that's for people with low cortisol or for long-term repair. ADHS stands for adrenal hypersecretor. That's our number 8 product. And so people with high cortisol, but it, because of its nature with adaptogenic herbs, 50% of people with low cortisol, it'll normalize as well. And then in some parts of the country, number 7 is ADB5 plus. So we'll talk about that as well. So why do we need adrenal products? Well, anytime you have stress, you're going to have compromised adrenals. Stress affects or challenges the pH of the microbiome. One of the things that happens when people are stressed is their pH changes. If the pH is awkward, that microbiome will change. For example, if you don't have enough, your system should be very acidic in the stomach, the pH of 2, 3. If it's not even up to 4, there won't be a bicarbonate secreted. The bicarbonate is normally secreted, and if the pH goes up to 7 or 8, and that's when a lot of the digestion continues to take place. And then the pH will actually change again to about 6, 6.5 in the large intestine. But if the pH of the small intestine does not go up, does not become alkaline, and it stays acidic, all of a sudden, some of these bacteria from the large intestine will creep up into the small intestine, causing something called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And one of the big things that causes that that problem is a lack of hydrochloric acid because of stress, and then we don't alkalize the small intestine. So stress affects and changes the pH of the microbiome in a way that we're not even, it's not really on our radar as a primary factor. So cytozyme AD is a neonatal bovine gland. We get these glands 1 to 3 days old at the height of anabolic growth. Each tablet suggests has 80 micrograms of raw bovine adrenal. And here we have our 20 micrograms, which we referred to earlier, of SOD, and 20 micrograms of catalase. And so we generally dose two tablets 3 times a day. You can see a Tuesday minute 276 on neonatal glands for more detail. Let's talk about cytozyme or ADHS. Again, AD for adrenal, H for hyper, S for secretor, adrenal hypersecretor, someone who makes too much cortisol. One doctor shared that 1 month, 10% of all his sales were from this one product alone. And it's from a proprietary blend of botanicals, vitamins, minerals that are useful in reducing cortisol. But again, as I mentioned earlier, that due to the adaptogenic botanicals, 50% of the time, it'll raise cortisol levels for those that need it. Now, if you got high cortisol, it's not going to raise it further. But if you have low cortisol, we found that 50% of the time, it'll raise it. We do 2 to 4 tablets. The tablets are relatively small. We used to have bigger tablets, but they made them smaller so that people could adjust the dosage properly. And we do 2 to 4 tablets at breakfast and at lunch. And you'll see a really interesting Tuesday minute 326 when addressing thyroid, check adrenal. Sometimes underlying thyroid problems can actually come from overstressed adrenals. ADB5 plus, again, in some parts of the country, it's number 7. It supports adrenal hypocortical function and especially burnout. So what happens, as you know from Hanselier's work, is your cortisol gets elevated. It's elevated for a period of time, and then in the exhaustion stage, it crashes. And those are really hard people to work with because they're just exhausted all the time. And it takes... To use cytozyme AD, you might have to take 5 or 6, 3 times a day. But for ADB5 plus, because it has porcine adrenal, sadly, we're more like pigs than we are like cows. So it's a different type of adrenal. It's a little more concentrated. So it's everything that's needed to repair adrenal function, as well as adaptogenic herbs and porcine adrenal. If porcine thyroid affects TSH, which we know it does, porcine adrenal will affect the cortisol. And so we do 2 to 3 a.m. and at noon. Here's an interesting idea, and Dr. Lesneski shared this with me, and I found it to be really important, especially for these chronically ill people. What he says is that sometimes people, their cortisols are so low that when they toss and turn at night, what happens is they experience pain from their joints. And so because they have pain from their joints, they wake up and then they can't go back to sleep. And so he, for some really chronically ill patients, gave 2 at bedtime, and he told them to do it over the weekend when they're not, they don't have to worry about, tossing and turning if they're up for 3 or 4 hours, but to do a trial. And he found that a significant amount of people found that they had their best night's sleep ever. And it's because it raises their cortisol just enough to reduce the swelling and the pain, and they just get a great night's sleep. So for those people that are not sleeping, we always think of some of the with insomnia that they have too much cortisol. Well, they might have too little cortisol, so that might be a consideration. So you can see the Tuesday minute 222 for more detail for that. Magnesium is number 6. Magnesium is a critical cofactor in more than 300 enzymatic reactions. I've actually read someplace that it's over 500 reactions, but many of them are tied to energy production. Magnesium acts as an antioxidant inside the cell and protects DNA and intracellular proteins. Each tablet contains 100 milligrams of elemental magnesium in 3 different forms, the aspartate, the gluconate, and the glycinate. And so how we take MGZyme, we take it at bedtime and we increase until we get diarrhea, and then we cut back one tablet until you get a loose but formed stool. We encourage people, magnesium is something that really helps the brain relax as well as the muscles relax. And so we want to take it at bedtime. If you take too much magnesium at meals, it can bind up fats, making them less absorbable. And actually, we have a product called LipidX that we use when people are trying to lose weight, when we want them to bind up fats. But we don't really want to bind up good fats. And so we use that product a little bit more sparingly. So we want to try to avoid MGZyme at meals. That's how we take it at night. Little side note, magnesium and B6 are needed to reduce or modify glutamate. Glutamate is the major excitatory neurotransmitter in the brain. And so when people are hyper, they might not be able to convert glutamate to GABA. And GABA is a very important relaxing, actually it's the number one relaxatory, I don't know if that's really a word, neurotransmitter in the brain. You can see Tuesday minute 243 on magnesium, a crash course to go over some of these details. Also, Tuesday minute number 219 on magnesium stearate. Some companies are, I believe, unethically quoting studies to show that magnesium stearate impairs the white blood cells and impairs the immune system. And so that covers that. There's four or five studies that we quote on that particular topic and how it's, I believe, kind of unethical to talk about magnesium stearate. It's a very safe product. It's been used for probably 60 years. Here's a little pearl. When low in magnesium, one speaker shared that 500 milligrams of magnesium will double someone's testosterone. So if someone is considering that they're low in testosterone, rather than go on the big T, they might want to try some magnesium for a couple months and see what it does to their testosterone. Another little clinical pearl is magnesium is needed as much as chromium or zinc for blood sugar regulation. And when you do red blood cell magnesium, you're going to find that the majority of your patients are going to be low. The serum levels for magnesium are really not accurate in the labs, but if you do red blood cell magnesium, which is a little bit more indicative of the true nature of magnesium, you'll find that at least 50% of the people are going to be low. Okay, so number seven is Gastrozyme, but while we're talking about Gastrozyme, I want to just highlight something called BioHPF and HCLEs. And these are three products that are really powerful for ulcers or for GERD and reflux. And those are major problems in today's society. So let's start with Gastrozyme. Again, gut issues right now are huge. It's the number two class of drugs behind pain are gut related. You can see Tuesday minute 373 on that. So we'll give you a little overview on each of these products. Gastrozyme, kind of think of Gastrozyme as putting out the fire. It provides antioxidants and agents to reduce excess acid if present. And so it contains vitamin A, gamma risinol, chlorophylls, vitamin U. Gamma risinol is something that really helps calm that vagus nerve. And there's been some studies to show that by calming the vagus nerve, it reduces the amount of hydrochloric acid secreted. The chlorophyllins help heal the gut. Vitamin U is an anti-ulcer factor. And then SOD, as we've talked about, is a primary antioxidant to help put out oxidative damage. And we start with four before a meal. And for severe cases, we'll keep adding one before each meal until the stool turns green. When the stool turns green, we know that the body can no longer accept any more chlorophyll. Let's talk about BioHPF. BioHPF is an antimicrobial for the stomach and the upper GI. It used to have some bentonite in it, which actually I kind of liked. Bentonite has a magnetic attraction to it, and it would it kind of pulls and attracts any heavy metals or a lot of strange bacteria to it. But there's so much controversy about bentonite with metals, and Biotix has a very strict protocol for heavy metals in their products, and so they couldn't get a clean source. And there was so much research about mastic gum with, by the way, bio HPM stands for H. pylori factor. And there was so much research about mastic gum and H. pylori that they took the bentonite out and added the mastic gum to it and actually made it a better product. So HPF stands for H. pylori factors. The botanicals will affect all forms of aberrant bacteria, not just H. pylori. And we do dose 2-3 times a day. And you could see a Tuesday Minute number 315 talking about combating H. pylori. I believe that one was done because it was recorded several years ago. Does have the bentonite in it, but just so that you know that it has, where it says bentonite is now mastic gum. HCLEs. Dr. Gary Lesneski developed bio-HPF for ulcer issues, but he also developed HCLEs because so many people were on proton pump inhibitors and these products that are supposed to be used for 16-week max. Some of these people are on these products for years, and so it completely inhibits the secretion of hydrochloric acid, and the stomach is raw. And so one of the things that he wanted to do is create, there's anywhere, and I've read different studies, anywhere from 8 to 12 cell layers of mucus to protect you from the hydrochloric acid that your body secretes to digest food. And so when those cell layers, those mucus level layers are depleted, what happens now is the hydrochloric acid can literally burn your gut. And that's what happens with people with GERD and other things, is we want to replace those healthy cellular levels so that they can protect your body against your own hydrochloric acid. So, and the beauty of this product, so that's the thinking behind it, is you want to protect the body, heal the stomach. But the beauty of this product is you can use HCLEs for 30 days with PPIs to heal the gut before backing off the drugs or before trying hydrochloric acid. You can see on the Tuesday Minute 373 that it's really our belief that it's fermentation that causes that GERD reaction to occur. And so the fermentation occurs because you're not digesting your food completely. So if you digest your food completely, and we also cut back on some of the carbohydrates, that gas won't cause that one-way valve in the esophagus to go up. That it should be a one-way valve, a nice firm valve that only goes down as opposed to going up. And so we want to retrain that valve. So we use 3 capsules twice a day. Sometimes people have problem periods. For example, they notice that they have night reflex. And if that's the case, we would take 3 capsules before bed, maybe an hour before bed for night reflux. So it's been a very successful product for us. ADP is number 9. It's kind of a miracle product in many, many ways. It's emulsified oil of oregano. One physician shared with me some research that in higher doses, oregano actually can inhibit mycoplasma. I've talked to several people that one medical doctor came up to me at a conference and he goes, I was literally dying. And he said, I started taking ADP and it saved my life. And he said, but I had to take 5 or 6, 3 times a day. So sometimes you have to take a little bit higher dosages, but let's talk about it a little bit more. I'm getting ahead of myself. Oil of oregano has been effective in treating many forms of bacteria, fungus, particularly candida. Dr. Mark Force, in a study that he did, showed ADP to be effective in treating many forms of dysbiosis, including Blastocystis hominis, Endolibax nana, and Entamoeba hartmanni. And so he did comprehensive stool digestive analysis. He would use 4 tablets 3 times a day and then repeated the test 16 weeks later. So 4 tablets of microemulsified oregano covers the entire GI tract. The emulsification prevents a leaky gut. That's seen with a lot of other forms of concentrated oregano oil. So you get some of these clear oregano oils, and they can actually cause leaky gut, where by emulsifying it, we can really spread that process, spread the oregano oil out. Funny story, Tuesday Minute number 95, Dennis DeLuca and some of his colleagues went to into the Andes to visit the Peruvian maca plantations. And he said the way that people would prepare the food was just, it was just not very cleanly. And he said they would have food that was prepared, and what are you going to do? You're up in a, you're a jeep up in the mountains. There's no restaurants, and so you pretty much eat what they give you. And he said they would put, you know, just shake their heads, and they would say this is an ADP moment, and they would eat a couple ADPs, and then they would eat the food. Interestingly, none of them had any problems, but one of the other jeeps had some people that were rowdy and throwing beer cans and beer bottles at trees and people, and they, for one reason or another, didn't feel that they should offer it to this other jeep. And every one of the people in the jeep that were eating the same food got violently ill. Actually, one of them had to be helicoptered out and actually missed the whole festival because he was so sick. The key is for really tough cases is to use higher doses. So even five, three times a day for 2 weeks, then cut back to three to four, three times for the remaining 4 weeks. And after 2 weeks, we want to start adding a probiotic at bedtime. So the key is, it's been a very, very effective product.
Joe, what have you seen with ADP and oral issues, like oral cavity issues?
Yeah, we've actually used it for thrush patients. Now, because of the new product, the newer product that we have called Children's ENT for children or Adults ENT for children, or I'm sorry, Adults ENT Pro, that particular strain of probiotics is extremely effective for candida. It stimulates natural killer cells and increases secretory IgA. So that actually would be a better product. Because the problem with the carvacol in the ADP, if you chew that tablet, it is crazy hot. I mean, it really makes a big difference. And for kids, it's not as well. We used to use it that way. And as a matter of fact, I know of actually Dennis DeLuca, the president of Biotics, told me that whenever he feels a sore throat coming on, he'll crush the tablet and he'll gargle with the ADP water. And that's his way of getting rid of sore throats. And so there's a lot of people that have used it in a lot of different ways. We have, you know, crushed it up and put it in tablet and crushed up the tablets and put it in water and swish it around the mouth for thrush and things like that. But it's just a harder, just because of the carvacol, it's a hot herb, so to speak. So the Children's ENT Pro would be or the Adult ENT Pro would be a better approach at this point. But I've never seen it. I've never thought about using it for cavities. That's an interesting thought. So, as a side note, with the Adult ENT Pro, the Children's ENT Pro, the developer mentioned she's got over 80 different publications, and there's been 40 studies that have been done on these particular probiotic strains. She mentioned, because there was a research article that came out about Alzheimer's and one particular strain of bacteria that was in the mouth, and she thought, although she said there's no data to support it, she said because it increases natural killer cells and the secretory IgA, that she thought that as a prevention for Alzheimer's, that the Adult ENT would be a great product, or people that have, you know, oral infections, periodontal disease, etc. Okay, optimal EFA is number 10. Smaller fish, so the optimal EFA contains three different things. It contains fish oil, it contains organic flaxseed oil, and it contains organic boar seed oil. And the fish come from, as you know, smaller fish are going to contain less mercury and PCBs. All the oils are tested for rancidity, both pre and post encapsulation. Now, this data, and I apologize, is inaccurate because in the last year we have changed suppliers, and now although we used to get our fish off the coast of Chile, we actually have fish. When fish are caught and they're processed, then they're generally sent to into the Norway area, and there they are actually put into an oil that can be used into a fish oil. The problem with that is there's a what we call a catch to capsule time limit, and it might be up to a year and a half before you get that capsule back from when you caught that fish. And when you have fish oil, it rancidifies during with heat and with temperature, with oxygen. And so we've got a new source, a new company in the last year and actually year and a half, that the processing plants are right on the shore. So the fishermen come in, they give the fish to the tablet, to the place, to the manufacturing center, and they do process the oils right there, and then they send those barrels of oil to Biotics, and then Biotics will send them out to be encapsulated. So the point being is it's a much higher percentage of EPA and DHA than are listed here. And so maybe we'll come back with another slide on this to talk about that, but it's a much higher amount. So it's from small sustainable fish. They're from anchovies, organic flaxseed oils, and organic borage oil. Again, Biotics checks for rancidity pre and post encapsulation to assure the highest purity and shelf life. I shared an interesting story that, gosh, 15 years ago, we were back ordered on optimal EFAs, and we must have been back ordered for 8 to 10 weeks. And sadly, people start going to other suppliers. If you can't get it from us, you're going to go someplace else to get it. And Biotics had a batch that was supposed to come in. And when they analyze it for rancidification, once the capsules came back, most people don't realize that there's probably only two or three different manufacturing centers in the country that will encapsulate oils. It's a whole different set of equipment. So the barrels will come in to Biotics. Biotics will analyze them to make sure the products are what they say they are and there's no toxins. And then they'll send the barrels back out to the encapsulating company, and then they'll come back in encapsulated. And so, or in the glass bottles. And so when they checked it out for rancidity, they found that for some reason there was rancidity, and they just threw away all those capsules. They just threw them away. And so it really irritated the doctors because they had to continue to be backward for another probably 6 or 8 weeks. I was like, why, who knows? Nobody checks post for post rancidity after the products are encapsulated. Why don't you just give them out? And they wouldn't even entertain the conversation. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We have to give clean products. We have to have integrity with what we give out. And I was so proud of them. That they, I was kind of embarrassed with myself that I would even suggest it, but they wouldn't do it. And I was really proud of them. Dr. Alex Vasquez, who's, as most of you know, has a DO, a DC, and an ND degree, spent probably 6 months studying essential fatty acids, and he's the one that developed it by showing that as you increase fish oil, you're going to decrease oleic acid and you're going to decrease GLA. If you increase GLA, you're going to decrease EPA and DHA. And so it's okay to use high dose fish oil for a period of time, but eventually you want to make sure you're supplementing all the different oils. In nature, everything has omega-3s, omega-6s, and omega-9s. And so nature intended us to have all the different oils. So we don't want to just overwhelm the system with just one. We do want to get our omega-3 index elevated, but we want to make sure that we have other oils to support us as well. So we use two to three capsules three times a day. Let's talk about hydrochloric acid. And this is number, betaine HP was number 11. Hydrozyme is number 13. HCl plus is very similar, so we're going to talk about that, but that's lower down the list. So a grain of hydrochloric acid, a grain is 65 milligrams. And according to Dr. Jonathan Wright, who has done tens of thousands of Heidelberg capsules, and he wrote a book called Why Stomach Acid is Good for You, says that we need 60 to 70 grains of hydrochloric acid are secreted during the average meal. So betaine HP has 700 milligrams, which is 10.8 grains. So this is the strongest product that we have. The pepsin in each product is 10 milligrams, but it's in a ratio of 1 to 10,000. And so if this is our strongest product. Hydrozyme has 150 micrograms of betaine, 50 milligrams of glutamic acid for seeds and nuts, and that gives us 3.1 grains per tablet. So that's the stronger. HCL Plus has 115 milligrams of betaine and 50 milligrams of the glutamic acid, or 2.5 grains per tablet. So this would be the weakest product. So let's talk about betaine HP Plus first. Again, it's 750 milligrams, 10.8 grams grains. It's the strongest. We talked about the pepsin. Really, if we really want to get to the bottom line, it's really the pepsin that digests most of the protein. So what happens is the hydrochloric acid stimulates the body to release pepsin, and it's the pepsin that does the digesting of the protein. And so theoretically, with this 10 milligrams of pepsin at this concentration, it should digest 100 grams of protein. But what happens is starches impede its effectiveness. And so that's just something to keep in mind. But we want to have pepsin. Pepsin is very important, and it's a highly concentrated form of pepsin. What we find is the sicker the patient, the more they need digestive support. It takes a tremendous amount of energy for the parietal cells to concentrate hydrogen to make hydrochloric acid. And Dr. Jonathan Wright, they did an interesting study, and they looked at, they were doing a study with college students. Actually, I'm not sure if he did the study or if he quoted the study at a lecture that I was attended. And they had a baseline of college students, and they were going to do a particular type of challenge. But all of a sudden, they got sick. And so they had this baseline. And so I thought, well, as long as we got a baseline now, let's see how long it takes before for these college age students for their hydrochloric acid to come back to their baseline. And what was really interesting is it took a couple months, but for some of them it took 6 or 7 months. Now, these are healthy college age kids. These are kids in the prime of their life. And so what if you got somebody that's got chronic fatigue syndrome or Lyme syndrome or cancer, somebody that has little energy available for the parietal cells to use to concentrate to make hydrochloric acid. And so it's the sicker the patient, the more energy it takes to make the hydrochloric acid. So keep that in mind with your very sick patients. There's a lot of ways people take hydrochloric acid. I talked to a gastroenterologist. He said, take one bite of food, then take the hydrochloric acid. But really my mentor, Dr. Harry Eidner, who's done tens of thousands of blood chemistries and has worked with it more than anybody that I know of, he always suggests take it in the middle of the meal and then to increase it 2 or 3 days until the patient feels warmth and then to cut back a tablet. Well, either they feel warmth or their symptoms abate. If their symptoms totally abate, then you can maintain it at that dosage. But if they do feel a little bit of warmth, then to cut back one capsule or tablet until the warmth occurs again, and then you cut back another capsule. For many times, you can put someone on a product like this, and their body will start making its own hydrochloric acid again. But sometimes, if you get people in their 60s or 70s, they might need to continue to take it because they're just not digesting their protein properly. Again, there was a Tuesday Minute number 265 called Why Hydrochloric Acid is Good for You that I think you'll find very enjoyable. Hydrozyme is number 13. Again, it's 150 milligrams of betaine and 50 milligrams of glutamic acid, which assists in the digestion of seeds and nuts. It's approximately 3.1 grains per tablet. What a number of different doctors have shared with me is that it seems like men do better on Hydrozyme. And it seems like women do better on HCL Plus, and I'm not exactly sure why that is, but that's just some experience that they've seen. So you might want to just keep that in mind. This does have a little bit of pancreatic enzymes in it as well, a little pancreatin in it as well. HCL Plus, 15 micrograms or milligrams of betaine, 50 milligrams of glutamic acid. Or 2.5 grains per tablet. Again, this is the weakest product. And again, women seem to do better on this product. For someone with a sensitive stomach or getting off PPIs after using HCLEs, we suggest starting slowly with one bottle of this and increase as needed, just one tablet in the middle of the meal for 3 or 4 days, then go to two tablets in the middle of the meal with the 3 or 4 days, then to three tablets till you find the right dose. And then you could either switch to Hydrozyme or Betaine HP Plus, but we want to start slow. By the way, HCL Plus is something, because of some ammonium hydrochloride, when people have too much calcium, we'll use this to see if we could acidify their system to get the calcium that's precipitated around their joints or their teeth or whatever, and back into suspension. So we'll talk about that at a later date as well. Number 12 is beta-TCP. Years ago, Dr. Lesneski said, and I'll never forget it, he said that when you can't resolve candida, fix the biliary tree. Because when you fix the biliary tree, bile is naturally an antimicrobial agent, and it needs to be secreted in the proper pH. And so we want to get that gallbladder working properly. Bile flushes the bowel. So just as another doctor shared with me once, just as paint thinner thins paint, beet juice thins bile. And so sometimes that bile gets very thick, and so we want to thin it out so it flows very well. Bile binds to toxins in the liver, and so we want the proper viscosity to allow the toxin to exit the body. If we don't have enough bile, we won't be able to get the toxins out of the liver. Again, bile creates the correct pH for the small intestine, which prevents SIBO and it prevents for yeast overgrowth. Because it's a natural source of nitrogen, it increases nitric oxide production. And in distributorships where doctors do a lot of muscle testing, beta TCP is dominant in that. They're like in the top five. I did a survey with all the distributors, and the ones that do a lot of muscle testing or a lot of nutrient testing, it's usually in the top five. In our case, it's in our top 12. So we'll use it with pain over the eyes, pain where pressure is applied to the webbing between the right thumb and forefinger. So if you just take that little webbing between the thumb and just kind of massage it, if you find a little bit of a like a little BB in there, or if someone really complains of pain, you know that they've got a gallbladder issue. Also, pain between the shoulder blades. If you see gas, bloating, inability to tolerate fats or fried foods, that's a classic sign. Somebody who eats food and maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours later, they feel nauseous. That's a classic sign. Usually when you have someone who eats food and within 30 minutes, they're feeling their stomach is upset, that's a hydrochloric acid problem. But if it goes an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, that's either a gallbladder or a pancreas problem. Beta TCP contains certified organic beets, 100 milligrams, 100 milligrams of taurine, pancrealipase, 50 milligrams, pancreatic enzymes, vitamin C, 60 milligrams, and again, SOD and catalase, each 20 micrograms each. Okay, GTA is number 14. I kind of lumped all three of these products together just to discuss some thyroid issues. And so let's talk about that. So GTA has 5 milligrams of porcine thyroid. GTA Forte has 20 milligrams of porcine thyroid, and GTA Forte 2 has 20 milligrams of porcine thyroid. What we want to do whenever we want to make sure people monitor thyroid TSH levels and thyroid levels when they're recommending this product. We've seen TSH drop from the highest one that I've seen personally is 276, and he dropped it to normal in 10 weeks. Dr. Greg Peterson did that with the patient. Normally, when we use GTA 1 to 2 twice a day, a.m. and at noon, if the TSH is greater than 2.5 and less than 10. We use GTA Forte 2 at 1 twice a day at a.m. and noon if the TSH is greater than 10. And you could see a Tuesday minute on number 323 to go into detail. And again, when addressing thyroid, don't forget about the adrenal. That's 326. So let's talk about them specifically. So GTA, it's kind of a weird acronym, but it stands for great thyroid alternative. At least that's what I call it. I don't know if that's really the name, but I call it as a great thyroid alternative. It contains 5 milligrams of porcine thyroid glandular. It contains 5 micrograms of selenium, and we need selenium to convert T4 to T3. And it also contains 5 micrograms of rubidium per capsule. And we need rubidium. Rubidium seems to help tyrosine pull tyrosine into the cell. When we use thyroid, symptoms are present and TSH is greater than 2.5, but less than 10, we use GTA. When it's, we use GTA forte two when TSH is greater than 10. This is, we're going to talk about this over and over again, but the key is when thyroid symptoms are present. Okay. So if you don't have thyroid symptoms and you've got 2.5, 2.6, 3.0, we leave it alone. If it's over the laboratory range, the clinical laboratory range, then we would use it. But we'll talk about this in just a minute. So we take 2 capsules of GTA in the morning, 2 at noon, and then we monitor with blood tests to determine the maintenance dose. Sadly, I have caused 2 people to go into hyperthyroidism. One was a patient, one was my mom, who was in advanced stages of dementia. Once we stopped the GTA, it went back down to normal. So it will change blood levels for sure. Let's look at GTA forte. So this contains 20 micrograms of porcine thyroid glandular, along with the synergist selenium, 26 micrograms, 5 micrograms of rubidium. But here's the kicker and why personally I don't like GTA forte. It has 1 milligram of copper and 10 milligrams of zinc. And so if you give too much, let's say you give 2 twice a day, that's 4 milligrams of copper. And so I don't recommend GTA forte. In areas where there's low levels of copper, that would be fine. But in the Midwest, because we have such acid water, we get water, copper from pipes and things like that. GTA forte contains 4 times as much thyroid as GTA. And again, we use when the TSH is over 10. Again, it's generally not recommended in the Midwest due to the amount of copper, 1 milligram per capsule. And we always want to monitor with blood tests when using GTA forte or GTA forte 2. GTA forte 2 is my favorite product when you have elevated TSH is over 10. 20 milligrams of porcine along with 26 micrograms of selenium, 5 micrograms of rubidium, but in this case, 250 micrograms of copper, so much smaller range. So in GTA forte, it's a 10-to-1 ratio. Now it's a 40-to-1 ratio of zinc to copper. Again, we use it when TSH is over 10, 1 to 2 capsules in the AM and at noon. Always monitor with blood tests. So we said earlier, when the symptoms of hypothyroid are present, that's when we want to give GTA forte 2 or GTA forte or GTA. So what are the symptoms of hypothyroid? So I thought I'd just summarize them. Obesity, decreased temperature, reduced initiative, sensitivity to cold, scaly or dry skin, tinnitus, reduced blood pressure, but you could also have elevated blood pressure, impaired hearing, constipation. Dr. Goodhart found the loss of outside portion of the eyebrows, classic sign, headaches that wear off in the morning, but they wear off as the day goes on. Anybody with depression, muscle cramps, premature gray hair, someone with type 1 diabetes is more prone to hypothyroidism down the road. Red hair, Dr. Broda Barnes said red hair is a classical sign. Somebody with mixed edema or someone that's is left-handed, or they have a B12 folate anemia. So those are the symptoms of hypothyroid. And if you've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of those, then we want to definitely use the TSH as an indicator. So here's what we do. So what is the TSH? TSH is a thyroid stimulating hormone. It comes from the pituitary. So the question is it a pituitary problem? If your TSH is low and your thyroid is low, is the thyroid low because it's not getting enough gas from the pituitary, or is the thyroid low because the thyroid's low? Well, what we do is we use we used the TSH as a indicator for if it's a pituitary problem or a thyroid problem. So if they have the symptoms and their TSH is under 2.5, then we would use CytoZyme PT-HPT. So we would support and feed the pituitary. But if it's over 2.5, then we would support the thyroid. So again, if it's the if TSH of over 2.5 with symptoms, we want to treat it as a primary thyroid problem. But if the TSH is under 2.5 with symptoms, we want to treat the pituitary as the problem, the primary problem, but there's the effect is on the thyroid. So what do you do for anterior pituitary support? Again, this is a TSH of 0.5 and less than 2.5 with the symptoms. Now, if someone's on medication, of course their TSH is going to be low. But if you see someone with that's not on medication and they have all those symptoms and it's less than 2.5, then you want to support the anterior pituitary. And so we use CytoZyme PT-HPT 3 to 4 twice a day, morning and noon, Thyrostim 2 to 3, twice a day, morning and noon. Always want to use essential fatty acids with thyroid issues. And we want to use a little bit of iodine, 1 to 2 tablets. We'll talk about iodine later. We don't suggest using more than one tablet of Iodozyme HP, stands for high potency, unless you're going to do urinary tests to make sure. And then we also want to use some selenium. Whenever we use iodine, we want to use selenium because if you have iodine, will drain the available amount of selenium out and actually can cause the same, a deficiency of selenium can cause the same problems as deficiencies of iodine. And with somebody with anterior pituitary problems, we want to expect to see hypercortisol function. And the reason being your cortisol, you're all stressed out, your body's ramped up. And so the body, in its wisdom, is trying to slow everything down. So it uses the pituitary as a brake to kind of slow things down. And so you'll often see that hypercortisol function with low TSHs. So if you see a TSH greater than 2.5, again, this is somebody with a hypothyroid. A hypothyroid, again, they have to have symptoms. If they don't have the symptoms, we don't want to necessarily treat them. And we use GTA 1 to 2, morning and noon. We use GTA Forte 2, 1 BID, AM and noon, if the TSH is greater than 10. We use Metastim to support the conversion of T4 to T3. And then again, iodine, essential fatty acids, iodine, selenium, and address the adrenals. And if you find weak adrenals, support them. If not, leave it alone. All right, last product. Thanks for your patience today, and that's Capress. That's number 15. Capress was developed to reduce NF-kappa B, which is, it's kind of like a genetic accelerator of inflammation. NF-kappa B is an intracellular amplifier, and it promotes the production of the direct mediators of inflammation, such as cytokines, prostaglandins, leukotrienes, nitric oxide, and free radicals. If NF-kappa B is not inhibited, it's going to be free to enter the nucleus of cells and bind with DNA, subsequently activating genes, which will encode for the increased production of further inflammatory mediators. Increases in NF-kappa B result in increases of pain, inflammation, cardiovascular degeneration, insulin resistance, autoimmune disorders, free radical pathology, and neurodegeneration. Let's look at a little slide showing this and just talk about it just for a second. So we've got NF-kappa B, but we've got an inhibitor type of NF-kappa B inhibitor in a cytosol, and it's made to inactivate or keep inactive the kappa B. For one reason or another, extreme exposure to stressful stimuli such as LPS, LPSs, bacteria, lipopolysaccharides. Can't believe I almost forgot that. Lipopolysaccharides or oxidative stress. With that oxidative stress will actually activate the inhibitory kappa B kinase, and that kappa B kinase then will denature this enzyme, which frees up NF-kappa B. And once NF-kappa, once the inhibitory kappa B kinase is destroyed, then NF-kappa B is free to bind with DNA. And once it binds with the DNA, that's when it activates interleukin 6, which is an inflammatory marker, C-reactive protein, which is an inflammatory marker, cyclooxygenase 2, which as you know, has an effect on prostaglandins and thromboxanes, interleukin 1. And these are all enzymes. These are all enzymes or cytokines that are reflected in inflammation and pain. And then these clinical manifestations of pain then actually cycle back and more NF-kappa B is released. And you could kind of see that in this diagram. So these are all the environmental triggers that can cause problems: stress, radiation, oxidative stress, injury, bacterial LPS from an infection or a leaky gut, food, environmental allergy, viral infections, and all those will activate NF-kappa B. If NF-kappa B is activated, you're going to see an increased expression of pro-inflammatory genes. And then again, these are all the different markers or cytokines that have been shown to be mediators of that. And then we see the clinical manifestations of pain, inflammation, poor health. And then there's this whole cycle that just keeps going on and on and on, because reactive oxygen species and oxidative stress cause more activation of NF-kappa B. So what's in it? It's a proprietary blend of curcuminoids, boswellia, serrata extract, propolis, green tea extract, ginger extract, rosemary extract, celery seed extract, resveratrol, alpha lipoic acid, phytolens, which is a pea concentrated, vegetable pea concentrate, and piperine to increase absorption. We do anywhere from 3 to 4 capsules twice a day, depending on the size of the person. If it's a smaller person, we would do 3 twice a day to reduce inflammation. And then some of the synergists that work help to also reduce this whole cycle would be vitamin D and optimal EFAs or EFA Search Supreme. You can see a Tuesday minute on that called Turning Down Pain Amplifiers to go into more detail. So I just want to share with you a quick story, because when we look at curcuminoids, boswellia, propolis, green tea extracts, ginger extract, these are all botanicals. And when you have a botanical, you have to have some kind of a solvent that's needed to concentrate that botanical. So sometimes it can just be hot water, sometimes it's alcohol, sometimes it's acetone. But sometimes to extract the phytochemicals from the plants, they have to use something that's a lot stronger. And sometimes the alcohol, the acetone, that they're not, we need something stronger. And so in this particular case, to use the curcumin suppliers use a carcinogenic solvent called 1,2-dichloroethane. And the maximum amount by the EPA is 5 parts per million. And so what we did is we had 2 different suppliers that were supplying our curcumin. And when it got to be such a hot topic, we decided we needed to get another one. And we actually went to one of our favorite suppliers and said, send us the product. And the product looked good, and in a lot of ways it tested well, but we took a look at the solvents to see if the solvents were removed. Because if you heat the solvents, if you heat the herb or whatever at a low temperature, just the heat by itself will get rid of the solvent. But in effect, what happened was that they had 139 parts per million of this carcinogenic solvent, this 1,2-dichloroethane, 30 times above the EPA limit. You know, the question really comes, who tests for residues or solvents? Well, Biotix does. It's not required by law. It exceeds good manufacturing practice guidelines, but they do it because it's the right thing to do. And that's a good feeling. So thank you for your interest. Thank you for your time. Next session, we're going to continue with the next grouping. We'll talk about some of the newer products and specialty products. And again, we want to remind you, when you look at the Tuesday Minute, when it comes up, this particular one was on PCOS, there's a search engine at the bottom. So you can type in just about anything and it will come up It'll come up with the different things that have to do with it. Like if you typed in oregano oil or ADP, you could see all kinds of different things as they come up. So that's it's a great resource for you. All right. Thanks. And we appreciate your attention. And we'll see you next time.